little out of it this morning. I am. So we have to understand that there are spiritual diseases that attack the church just like physical diseases attack our physical body. Most of us have been sick sometime in our lives. Some more recently than others. Can you remember how that feels? Some have a type of disease that may be with them all the time. And they never get over an illness of some sort that they just carry with them. Always will until they die. There are others who have an illness and get over a particular illness, become healthy again, later on get another illness. That's the thing. But there are spiritual diseases as well. Now, there are spiritual diseases that attack us individually. As an individual, I may succumb to a spiritual disease like anger, hatred, worry, some of those types of things. And, in fact, it is possible, I suppose, for an entire congregation to succumb to one of those. And some churches survive for nothing more than to hate every other church. That's not going to accomplish a whole lot, but that's what their purpose is to be. But as we look at 1 Corinthians 12, we see God describing the church as a body. Something that we can understand. Because whereas the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. But by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. So the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need. As we think about our body, it's pretty clear that the individual parts of our body are nothing on their own. If I had my arm cut off, that arm, that's not hay. It's a part of me as long as it's attached. But if it's cut off, why, I'm not going to keep it around anymore. Once it's cut off from the body, it's going to die. Very, very quickly. Occasionally, some people have had fingers or other body parts cut off, and they were able to get to the hospital quickly and get those parts sewn back on, and they were able to reconnect. But the longer that that body part is not part of the body, the more likely it is that it never will be. Same way, the body. We have certain members of the body who have cut themselves off from the body and spiritually are dying. In a sense, they're already dead. But they're as long as there's physical life, they have time to be reattached to the body spiritually and behave. But we've got to think about it. If I had my arm cut off, I would still be dead. I would be lessened by the loss of that arm. Whatever the part. Even if I just had a fingernail or a toenail removed, I would still be dead, but I'd be lessened by the loss of that body part. In the same way, when members leave the church is lessened by them not being a part of it. But the church is still the church. Once they cut themselves off from the church, they're are the part of the body. Now, we cannot live without a head. But it is quickly getting to the point with medical science and the knowledge of him that we can live with hearing about an artificial any other part. They're working on artificial hearts. They have a dialysis if the kidney stops working. There's so many things they can do. They can do a transplant and put somebody else's body part in there to replace yours. But not the head, not yet. They haven't been able to figure that out. The head is very important. The body. Any part. Only the body. We're going to look at some of the diseases that attack that body. The body church. We're constantly under attack from Satan. Both individually and as a whole. Satan doesn't want to just stamp out an individual Christian here and there. He wants to stamp out the entire body of Christ. That's what his goal is. He wants to destroy it all. As Christians, we need to protect the body of Christ from these four diseases. First of all, we need to protect the body of Christ from cancer. Cancer is a frightening disease, physically speaking. Some have experienced that person. Very, very frightening. What is cancer today? Well, cancer basically begins as a blood cell sometimes, or a small cluster of cells that does not serve the purpose that it's supposed to serve. And as it begins to grow, it begins to fight against the rest of the body. It begins to, in essence, eat the good cells of the body and destroy them and produce more and more of the cells that are not performing the proper function, not doing what they're supposed to do. Well, you know, we have that same situation sometimes in the church. We have little individual cells, or sometimes little clusters of cells, who instead of doing what they're supposed to be doing in the body of Christ, are attacking other parts of the body. They're attacking the ones that are doing good. They're attacking the ones that are doing what they're supposed to do. And killing them off. And destroying whatever good that those good cells have become. We need to first make sure that we're not cancer cells in the body. Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you do not consume one of another." And this is what cancer does. Cancer does not come from outside the body. I know they talk about carcinogens and things that will cause cancer. But as long as those things are outside the body, they never will hurt it. They have to get inside the body. And then once they're inside, they will devour all of the healthy cells of the body if steps are not taken to prevent it. James 4:1 also says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Shall they not end even of your lust that war in your members?" Then we have the problem. Fighting against one another within the body. There are these cancerous cells attacking the healthy cells, doing everything they can to defeat the proper functioning of the body. And what's amazing about it is as we breathe and drink water and eat food and all these things to try to keep our body healthy, those cancer cells grow and reproduce themselves. That's why it's so difficult for anything to be done about this. So what do they do about cancer? Well, of course, there's one thing that is done that's gut. And the problem with those is they kill the healthy cell just as much as they kill the cancer cell. And with those, we have to just hope that we kill off all the cancer cells before we kill off all the healthy cells. Another thing that's often done whenever it's possible, if the cancer is caught early enough, is to cut it out, throw it away, move it from the body before it has a chance to eat up the rest of the body, before it has a chance to spread all throughout the body. Cut it out of there and get rid of it whenever we can. Well, it's interesting, but Jesus tells us basically the same thing when it comes to sin in the body. In Matthew 5:29-30, now, he specifically is referring to an individual body, but with this comparison that Paul makes of the body of Christ, the application is very clear that the same action refers to the spiritual body of Christ. Matthew 5:29 says, "And if thy right eye offends thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. For it is profitable that one of thy members shall perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Cast it from you, for it's profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell." Jesus makes it pretty clear, if the choice is between the whole and the part, lose the part. Now, I've known some people who had cancer, who were told they had cancer, and who were told that it was early enough that they could have it removed, and who refused. They refused to have it removed. We talked a little bit in the last recording about people who won't go to the doctor when they're sick. You've got cancer, the doctor says you can go in and surgically remove that cancer, and there's a good chance And yet in the body of Christ, that very same thing often happens. There is a body part that is acting as a cancer. It is destroying the church, either locally or even on a larger scale sometimes. And yet there are people who will, we can't withdraw fellowship. We can't practice discipline. In other words, we can't cut it out and remove it. We can't do that. And what happens? While they're weak and they fail to resolve the situation, the cancer spreads. The cancer grows. It attacks other members of the body. We have cancer in the church. We need to cut it out. Get rid of it. Now, some people might be cancer. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference in cancer and in just an immature cell that's not up to snuff yet. But God gives wisdom to those who ask you. The attitude will soon make it clear whether this person is a person who's weak in the faith and trying to grow, or whether this person is a cancer that's attacking the body. Secondly, as Christians, we need to protect the body of Christ from Alzheimer's. Now, Alzheimer's, of course, what is Alzheimer's? It's a disease within the brain that causes the brain not to function as it once did. It causes the memory not to work. Eventually, it gets to the point where the brain forgets to tell the heart and lungs to work. That's what happened to my grandmother. She was in perfectly good health from the standpoint of the physical aspect, as much as someone of her age and circumstances could have been. But her brain had got to the point where it just forgot to tell the lungs to take another breath. So they did. And that was it. Well, in the church, there is, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James is talking about someone who had all the knowledge that they needed, and forgot it. He talks about some congregations who at one time were sound, and now they're not. Why is that? Have they forgotten what God's word said? Or have they just ignored it? In some cases, when we fail to continue to study, when we fail to continue to learn, when we fail to remember the things that we have been taught, the church gets off into whatever is popular, whatever will draw a bigger crowd, and we forget. It's not our body. We're not the head. We don't get to make the decision. Christ is the head. He's already made the decision, and it is only our job to do what he has said. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, we have the solution to our spiritual Alzheimer's. You know, physical Alzheimer's is not a sinful condition. It's simply a physical condition. We understand that. But spiritual Alzheimer's is a sinful condition. Because it's not a lack of the mind. These same folks can remember all sorts of things that come to worldly events. But for some reason, when it comes to spiritual events, spiritual things, they just don't have a mind. Revelation 2:5, speaking to the church in Ephesus, John, on behalf of the Lord, writes, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember where you used to be. Do you remember where you used to be in the body of Christ? Do you remember how, as the body of Christ, you used to be attached to the head? Now you've severed yourself from Christ? Remember where you used to be. Remember from whence you have fallen. And repent. And do the first work. Do you remember how much you first obeyed the gospel? How much you wanted to do what God wanted you to do? And get back to that. Go back to those first things that you were doing when there was still the excitement, the newness, the love." It says it in the name of God, that first love. It says, "Repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto quickly and will remove that candlestick out of its place, and last Lord, except you repent." Do you realize that entire church, by its failure to keep those things that Christ has told them to keep, the entire church can just be stripped off the earth? And we know individuals can. We know as individuals, well, yes, I can. But the entire congregation, that's not one of mine anymore. Not a part of my body, not attached to Christ as the head. He loves it. And third, we need to protect the body of Christ from gangrene. What is gangrene? Well, gangrene is basically an infection that sets in where a part of the body has died. And it begins to rot. It begins to decompose. one that comes from outside the body. And it starts to attack the body. But you know what? Gangrene can never attack a healthy living body. There must first be a dead spot for it to attack. Now once it attacks that dead spot, it can then move from that dead spot to begin to attack the living spots that are nearby. It's amazing to see from the standpoint of the way it works. Certainly not as desirable. What is the solution to getting rid of it? There's no medicine you can take once you get it. There's no shot you can take. We have inoculation. The measles and mumps and all. You can't take an inoculation if you can't breathe. And once you get it, there's no medication they can give you. They give you antibiotics and it'll be eaten away in the dead flesh until it's cut off. We have some in the church who are being eaten away gangrene, by that sin, eating away at them. And it will bring death not only to those individuals, but to the whole body. If it's not cut off. Notice what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 11. They had a situation there where they had a man who was living about as an immoral life as anyone could do. He had taken his father's wife for his own. And the church was proud of it. I guess they were like a lot of people who claim to be Christians today who were proud of their tolerance. Oh, but see how loving we are. See how tolerant we are. See, we don't get upset at you about this. Paul says you should. To be tolerant is not always the case. And he says this, speaking of that individual, but in particular of the sin in that individual's life. Purge out, get rid of the old leaven. That you may be a new one, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you need to go out of the world. He says, I wrote to you not to keep company. He says, I didn't mean you just don't ever be around anybody like that out in the world, because if that was the case, you'd have to leave the world. We're surrounded by people like that every day, everywhere we go. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. He says you can't help but come in contact with these people out in the world, but you don't let that gangrene hit the church. Cut it out. Individually, cut the sin out of your own life. As a congregation, if someone is unwilling to cut the sin out of their life, then you have to cut them out to protect the rest of the body. There have been cases where someone got gangrene, and for some reason or another, they didn't take care of the problem. Maybe they didn't want to have a foot amputated. Well, I don't know anybody that really wants to have a foot amputated. But if it's the choice between I cut off that foot or that gangrene eats me all up, I'm going to cut off that foot. And as much as we love one another in Jesus Christ and in the body of Christ, if you're gangrene in the body, for the rest will necessitate getting cut out. And that's a job. Cannot continue to allow it. And that's what they had to do in verse 1. They had to cut that man off from the church because he was corrupting the healthy cell. He was allowing that sin to spread throughout the body. So Paul said, cut him off. Now apparently, from what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he repented of his sin and came back. And when he repented, then the church welcomed him back with open arms. And they weren't doing it, and so Paul had to write to them a second time about the situation and tell them to take this guy back now that he's repented, now that he's cleansed himself. He says the punishment has been sufficient, it's been enough. Now take him back. Now that he's gotten rid of the sin, he's gotten rid of the anger. You know, that's the way it always has been with infectious disease. Somebody has a highly infectious disease, and they're put into seclusion, they're isolated. Well, if they get over that, then they're allowed to come back into the society. But as long as they have that disease, they get sick. And then we come to the fourth and final disease from which we must protect the body of Christ. And that is AIDS. But what is AIDS exactly? Well, it's the term acquired immunity deficiency syndrome. In other words, the part of your body that fights off disease is not fighting off disease. That's the physical aspect of what happens to me. Well, what about the spiritual side? You see, we have to fight off the diseases of sin, the diseases of false teaching, the diseases of lack of spirituality, diseases, all of these things that attack the body. We've got to work to defend the body. We can't count on, well, the preacher will do it. Or, well, the elders will do it. We've all got to be actively trying to defend the body like little white blood cells, like antibodies, trying to defend the body. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, long verses. I have the wrong verses down there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Peter tells us to be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. Talking about seeking when we may devour. He says, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Paul says, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. The question is, are we resisting? Are we putting up a fight? Or are we letting the devil just walk right in? The devil will destroy church if we don't keep it out. If we don't have a good, strong defense, he's going to destroy it. But we have to watch out for that. We have to constantly be defending the truth, defending the gospel, as Paul was in Philippians 1, 15 to 17. He said, some indeed preach Christ the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. We need to be set for the defense of the gospel. Sometimes we are too willing, too quick, to compromise a little here and a little there. Oh, not a big thing. No, we would never let them do that. But we compromise a little thing. A little here and a little there. The conclusion is, the interesting thing about all of these four diseases that we've looked at, cancer, Alzheimer's, gangrene, and AIDS, there is, in the medical community, in the physical world, they have no cure for these things. No, they have some things that they can do to try to help the situation. But there is no cure. There is no inoculation that you can take to prevent getting this. There is no antibiotic that you can take that will get rid of this once you have it. There's no way even sometimes of knowing who's going to get them and who's not. But in the church, in the body of Christ, we do know how to keep from getting it. Any of these diseases. We know how to inoculate against it. And we know if someone does contract one of these spiritual diseases, how to get rid of it. And the answer to those things is study of the Word of God, putting to practice of the Word of God, and the blood of Christ. Those are the things that will inoculate us. Those are the things that will purge it out if it's in existence. Individually, we need to do those things. As a congregation, we need to do those things. Constantly. Remember from whence you fall. From whence you fall. Yes. Do the first word. Be careful lest you devour one another. All of these things. The Bible warns us about these things. Now the Bible doesn't call them by those names. Many of those names, they didn't have those names for diseases back then. But Paul makes it clear. Each part of the body has a function to perform. If the body part is not performing its function, it is dead and useless. And what happens to dead and useless cells in our body? Well, one of two things happens. Either those dead and useless cells destroy the rest of the body, or the healthy parts of the body destroy them. You have every day thousands, maybe even millions of skin cells that die. And they die and they then are purged off from the body. They fall off. You don't really notice it, but when your house is dusty, just remember it's your fault. Those are your skin cells that are making that dust. I showed you how much of it. I think it's every 21 days. Every 21 days, our skin completely renews itself from working for health. If dead cells die, then it's out of the way and the cells get in place. And now the body is cracking, hopefully different than that. Hopefully the only way that we would lose somebody in the body of Christ in this world is if they move on to the next. Unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, there are dead cells that get burned out. Body. Because if the dead cells are allowed to remain in the body, it will destroy the body. If you're here today, perhaps you have been the cause of some of these diseases in the body of Christ. If so, remember from this fallen. Don't loves us and cares about us. And he wants what's best for us. The devil couldn't care less about you. He only wants to use you and use you for his purpose. This is very clear in the fact that the devil will gladly take you to hell with care. But Jesus wants to do everything possible. Now, which one really likes?